The review was led by distinguished Connecticut Park alumna Marion Clark. It is exempt from the forest conservation laws. Marion has recommended a tree safe plan, and she is recommending that the couple of specimen trees here at the Bushy Drive entrance be protected, and also that she's looking for protection for this specimen tree right here, which is apparently named tree number 13. We would also like to encourage MCPS to use LEED standards, leadership in energy and environmental design standards, in the rehabilitation of this school. As a final note, the Park Planning and Resource Analysis Group has taken a look at the recreational facilities for this site, and they're going to have a single softball field here and a sort of a multi-purpose, this is a soccer field configuration in this portion of the site. And the resource analysis people have recommended that the single softball field, which is now does not have a skinned infield, receive such an infield, and that some areas that where there is some overgrowth in this area be cleared. And as I said, with that, we are recommending approval, and we'd like to be able to forward these few comments on to the school system.
Thank you. Comments from the school system?
We agree with the staff recommendations.
Okay.
I just had a brief question of the school system. I saw the staff recommended using the LEED design system. Have you all done that before, or are you considering doing it?
We consider it for most of all of our schools, and we're trying to adopt LEEDs wherever we can, wherever it's practical. This is an existing facility, so there are some limitations, but yes, we do try to use LEEDs as much as possible in our schools.
Have you used it?
Excuse me, I'd like to, Dennis, have we successfully completed a project yet?
Dennis Cross with Montgomery County Public Schools. All of our school designs take advantage of the design principles suggested by LEEDS, but LEEDS is a rating system that requires a fair amount of upfront additional design cost. So on many of our projects, we don't actually try to become LEEDS certified. We simply utilize the design standards that have been put forth by the U.S. Green Building Council, which has established the LEEDS process. We do, however, on at least one, if not two, of our schools currently under design are going for LEED certification in addition to just simply designing to the LEED guidelines.
Thank you. I was curious about it because I understand there's a building being built by the private school Sidwell Friends in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be LEED certified, and I wanted to see how feasible it is and if we've been doing it, so thank you.
Any other questions? I take it we don't have any speakers on this item?
No speakers.
Okay.
Move approval of staff recommendation, Madam Chair.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Among those present.
You.
Thank you. And then now we'll take items six and seven, preliminary water quality plan and local map amendment. Take those together. Are we waiting for anyone else?
Yes, Madam Chair. Before we get started briefly, I'd like to introduce to the members of the board, Elsabeth Tesfaye. She's new to us for 2 months, and she brings valuable planning experience from Prince George's County. This is her first case. We certainly expect to see her more in front of the board. And Ms. Tesfaye.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. And I'm assuming that the reason he introduced you and to let us know that you knew is because we were supposed to give you a break.
Absolutely.
Is that it?
Or acclimate her.
Or acclimate her.
That was a very tactful way of
expressing. Welcome.
Thank you. I'll take whatever I get. Shall I go ahead?
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon, members of the board. For the record, it's Elsabeth Tesfaye from Development Review Division. Also here with me are Mr. Michael Zamor from Environmental Planning, Ms. Nelly Musco of the Community-Based Planning Division, and I am expecting someone from Transportation. This is here. Item 6 and 7 are companion cases, and I'll be presenting them concurrently. Item 6 is a request for the Planning Board approval of preliminary water quality plan for the East Side property, which is also the subject of Item 7, Local Map Amendment Number G-824. And I will be giving the description of the property in Item 7. Upon reviewing the applicant's preliminary water quality plan in accordance with the special protection law, the environmental planning staff has recommended approval of the plan subject to 3 conditions listed in the staff report. The preliminary water quality plan has also been approved with conditions by the Department of Permitting Services, which reviewed certain elements of the plan under its purview. Item 7 is a local map amendment number G-824, and the applicant, it's a request for the Planning Board approval of reclassification of approximately 23.82 acres of property from the R-200 zone to the PD-11 zone with a proposed development plan. The subject property is located on the south side of Shawnee Lane, approximately 100 feet east of its intersection with Gateway Center Drive and approximately 2,000 feet west of Maryland 355 in Clarksburg.
The property is currently unimproved. The southern portion of the property.
I'm not sure that your mic is on.
It shows green.
It's green.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Okay. I just have to shout louder. Okay. The southern portion of the property, which is this area here, is wooded and defined by a stream valley. And the area and the neighborhood is defined by Clarksburg Road in the north, Maryland 355, also Frederick Road in the east, and west Old Baltimore Road in the south, and to the west with I-270. The character of the neighborhood is generally defined by scattered single-family dwellings, undeveloped parcel of lands, and some office developments, and L-Corp Comsat employment property here, employment facility.
The 1994 Clarksburg Master Plan and Hightstown the applicant proposes to develop the property with 290 residential units, including 232 stack townhouse condominiums and 58 single-family attached units. 40 of the proposed 290 dwelling units would be moderately priced dwelling units. The development provides for a total of 648 parking spaces. The applicant also proposes to widen Shawnee Lane to a four-lane divided arterial roadway between Gateway Center and Maryland 355. The development will have one full access and one right and right out access on Shawnee Lane.
It's going to take a while to get to this. This would be Shawnee Lane, and the applicant is proposing to widen Shawnee Lane between. Between Gateway Drive here and then Maryland 355 here.
The applicant worked with staff to address issues and concerns of staff regarding the project, the project's compatibility in relation to existing and future development in the area. The 1994 Clarksburg Master Plan and Hightstown Special Study Area recommends the site for planned development and use with 9 to 11 dwelling units per acre. The master plan identifies the property as part of the transit corridor district. The subject property is located in close proximity to a master plan transit way and associated transit stops. The amended development plan, which is before you today, incorporates design specifications and amenities that were worked out between the applicant and staff, including site design, aesthetic appearance, buffering, usable green space, landscaping, internal circulation pattern, and access from the road, and also coordinated vehicular and pedestrian connections to future developments on adjacent properties. The proposed development does not provide a broad range of housing types, as encouraged by the zone. However, considering the fact that a large portion of the property is within a stream valley and not developable, and a sizable stormwater management pond, we believe the proposed design and mix of the residential units are appropriate and desirable for the subject property. In addition, with the location of the property next to a proposed large mixed-use development, that's the Elcor site, and in close proximity to other potential developments, a balance of wider range of unit types could be maintained to satisfy the intended purpose of the zone within the transit corridor district. The Clarksburg Civic Association has voiced concerns regarding potential impact on the proposed development density on the immediate area. Based on an ongoing discussion between the staff and the community, it appears that the community's concern is focused not necessarily on this particular project, but on the potential cumulative impact of this and future development projects in the area, including the construction of the master plan transitway. The applicant has been communicating with the community in an attempt to address some of the concerns. Staff finds the development plan presented here today is consistent with the proposed with the purposes of the PD zone and the recommendations of the 1994 Clarksburg Master Plan and Hightstown Special Study Area. Staff also finds that the proposed reclassification is compatible with existing and planned land uses in the surrounding area, and that public facilities are adequate to serve the proposed development. Staff recommend approval of the proposed PD 11 zone and the proposed development plan. The staff also recommends approval of the proposed preliminary water quality plan, subject to the recommended conditions listed in the staff report. This concludes staff's presentation, and I'll be happy to answer questions. I also have Mr. Zamora here that he's available to answer questions regarding the preliminary water quality plan.
Thank you. We'll hear from applicant.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Tim Dugan. I'm here this morning from Shulman Rogers with Larry Gordon. Chuck Ellison of Miller & Smith is here, the applicant. Also, to answer questions, we have our the rest of our development team, Phil Perrine of Perrine Planning and Zoning, Ed Wallington and Jim Belcher from Lorderman Soltes Associates, Craig Hedberg from Integrated Transportation Solutions, and Gus Ballman of Beverage and Diamond. We, too, would like to thank Elizabeth, Nellie Mascow, Michael Zamora, and others who have helped with the project. And we also hope that you'll think this is our first time in front of you and that you'll go easy on us.
My memory's not that bad.
We are here to answer any questions. We do agree with the staff recommendations, and we'd be glad to answer any questions that you may have. We would, if necessary, we would be happy to return for any rebuttal necessary. Thank you.
Do we have speakers on this item? Questions?
I just have one immediate question, and of course, you know, that's about the MPDU units. Where are they within the context of the site plan you have there?
If I may, Commissioner, Chuck Ellison with Miller & Smith, the MPD units will be spread evenly throughout the community and be in a variety of type units, so there will be no one identified building, or in this case several buildings that be MPDUs or one specific dwelling type. They will be spread throughout the community.
I don't recall reading about any kind of on-site recreational activity?
There are going to be on-site recreational activities. That's usually the final determination, I think, is usually made at the site plan. But our objective is, the site plan is up to your right. There are many small interior courts by the units, and we plan to have each one of those have a little theme within it. And then we have a larger area that we work with staff to create that will be sort of more of a community theme.
Gotcha.
So there are going to be recreational facilities.
Okay. Thank you.
This is not intended as a critical observation, but there's a certain tone that comes across from the staff memorandum that you've just kind of squeaked in on the open space requirements, that this is a very tight project, and for recreational space and for open space, you made it, but it was hard work.
Well,
I don't mean that as a criticism. I think it's just more to follow Commissioner Brian's question, observation that it's site plan. I'll I'll be observant about that.
Yeah. I would characterize it a little bit differently if I could. We did prepare a plan, and we had worked with our planners and their internal process, and we thought we had a pretty good plan, and it was submitted. You have a very good staff, and they had some interesting ideas, and we had some good discussions, and I confess, I told Elspeth this morning, I had a confession to make that even though I was a little bit concerned when I first heard some of the staff recommendations, I think we've come up with a much better plan. I think the original plan we submitted was a good plan. It exceeded all the requirements. I know it worked in the marketplace because we had done a lot of our own research with our residents and buyers, and I think we now, the staff had a better mousetrap, if you will, and it was a healthy discussion that professionals have to get to the best possible plan, and I think that's what we did. And that's, please disagree if you know, but I think that was the substance of the discussion.
Satisfied.
Well, if there are no more questions, I would like to move approve the staff recommendation, Madam Chair.
Second.
I believe we need two separate motions, so I'll take that as a motion on the preliminary water quality plan. We have a motion and a second. I'm sorry, John, did you second that?
Yes, I did second it, Madam.
We have a motion and a second on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous.
Madam Chair, I move approve a local map amendment, G-824.
Second.
Motion and a second on the local map amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's unanimous. Okay. Elspeth, nice job, and I'm happy to hear you're also taking confession in addition to the other things. We are a multifaceted organization.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I've taken advantage of my newness. So.
So we're on item 8, preliminary plan review, Deer Park.
Yeah.
Not just kind of shifts, but you do kind of.
You're not
what?
You're not.
No. I can't pull that.
Not.
No brakes. No brakes.
Dolores Kinney. I'm with the Development Review Division. This is preliminary plan number 1-01064 entitled Deer Park. This is a re-subdivision application to create 12 single-family residential lots. The property is located at the southeast quadrant of the intersection of Musgrove Road and Marlow Road. The property is zoned R90 and contains approximately 4.5 acres. You have a staff report in front of you, which includes a copy of the staff report for the plan that was presented to you on July 22nd. In deciding on a re-subdivision plan, the board must determine the appropriate neighborhood and then determine whether or not the proposed subdivision is in the same character as the existing lots in the neighborhood. Based on 7 criteria from the subdivision regulations in Section 5029B2. Staff has indicated that a staff report is included from the previous hearing. And this plan was before you on the 22nd of July. And at that time, the board determined that the subdivision was not of the same character of the existing lots in the neighborhood. Primarily, there were concerns regarding lot size, the density of the subdivision, the location of certain lots fronting on Marlow Road, and whether they were of similar character of the larger lots. The difference between this particular subdivision application and others is that we have properties that are surrounding the site, which are of different zones. This is a diagram of the subdivision, includes the outline of the neighborhood. The site is zone R90, and the adjacent properties are of different zones. To the east, the property zone R200, and to the west, the property zone R90 and R90 TDR. So you have a transition from larger lots to smaller lots. And the purpose of the re-subdivision in this particular case is to be of the same character of the neighborhood. Again, as I indicated before, there were some concerns addressed by the board, so the applicant requested to defer the decision of the board to address some of the concerns. Since July 22nd, staff has worked closely with the applicant and the engineer to address some of those concerns, and we've come up with a final design, which is being presented to you today. These two visuals basically depict some of the differences between the plan that was before you on July 22nd, excuse me, and the plan that is being presented to you today. If you can see this clearly, the plan to the right is the plan that was on July 22nd, and the plan to the left is the new plan. Some of the differences include, for example, the original plan showed 14 lots. One of the concerns was that the number of lots was not in character with the surrounding neighborhood. The applicant has reduced the number of lots from 14 to 12 lots. And it's the 12 lots are shown on the new plan. On the previous plan, the setbacks for the lots fronting on Marlow Road were not appropriate for this particular subdivision. The original plan showed setbacks of 40 feet. Keep in mind that the R90 zone has a minimum setback of 30 feet, whereas the new plan shows setbacks of 40 feet for lots 3 and 4 and 50 feet for lots 1 and 2. So the setbacks have been changed. In addition, the lot sizes have changed. The average lot size for the previous plan was 9,877 square feet, where the average lot sizes for the new plan is 11,725 square feet. In addition, the dwellings on Musgrove Road are now fronting or facing Musgrove Road to be consistent with the dwellings to the south of Hawkshead Terrace, which are also facing Musgrove Road. In the old plan, the dwellings were inward. They were facing inside the subdivision. One of the concerns also was the location of Penny Lane. Penny Lane has been realigned to accommodate access based on the new design. And we realize that regardless of where Penny Lane is going to be located in the subdivision, it's going to have some impact on the properties to the east of Marlow Road. But we feel that this realignment is appropriate for this design. Staff has also received additional letters from citizens expressing some of the same concerns that were addressed at the July 22nd hearing, and you have should have copies of those letters as well. We have addressed some of those concerns in our staff report. Our staff supports this new design and recommends approval.
Thank you. We'll hear from the applicants.
Good afternoon. For the record, Sue Carter with Law Offices at 200 B. Monroe Street, representing the applicant. Also present is John Sakarik, our land planner with Greenhorn and O'Mara, and David Arias on behalf of the applicant, Southwind Properties. I think that Dolores has nicely summarized, I think, the changes that were made in the plan, and we do believe that the revised plan addresses the concerns that we heard you raise at the last hearing. In particular, I recall that Mr. Robinson had some concern about lot size and had sort of focused in on a subdivision, a cul-de-sac a little bit further to the south, which is part of our neighborhood, which is the Marlowe Place cul-de-sac, and sort of looked at those lot sizes and said we want to see something that's more similar. And what we've done now, our average lot size is now actually slightly larger. We're 11,725 square feet, while those have an average lot size of 11,618 square feet. We've also made the lots facing Marlowe Road deeper to more be more compatible with the R200 zoned properties that are across the street there. As staff pointed out, we've added 15 to even 20 feet in depth to some of those lots and have proffered an additional setback. The R90 requires a 30-foot setback. We have proffered on two of the lots a 40-foot setback, which is consistent with what R200 zoning requires, and then even on two lots a 50-foot setback has been proffered. We've reduced the number of lots overall. We've gone down from 14 to 12 lots. And at staff's suggestion, we have reoriented three of the lots to front on Musgrove. The designers felt that that was a preferable layout so that somebody coming down Musgrove doesn't look at the rear of houses. So we did do some shifting of the alignment and so forth, necessitated a shift in Penny Lane. We believe that what we have designed here is appropriate. It is zoned R90. And it's an appropriate transition between the R90, which used the MPDU option and some of the R90 TDR to the southwest, and the R200 across the street, and believe that we fall well within the matrix in terms of the re-subdivision criteria. We're certainly within the range, well within the range there. The staff recommendations are acceptable to the applicant. The only comment I would make, I believe, and this correction may have been made on condition number 11, where it talks about the location of the sidewalk. I think that should say west, on the west side, not east of Penny Lane. It's going to wrap around, but on the west side. And I believe that staff was going to strike condition number 13 because that coordination with SHA had already been accomplished. Okay. Just a final observation. I know that there are folks here who are here to testify in opposition. And I just wanted to comment on one of the letters that I saw that we just received on Tuesday that was a concern about the folks who live directly across from the realigned Penny Lane. An attorney, Mr. Liu, apparently is here today and intends to speak on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Nee, who reside across the street. Now, in looking at the letter, it doesn't appear to me that he's even admitted in the state of Maryland, but I'll let him address that. He may well be. But I think this particular letter we found to be most offensive. I think it's a little outrageous to suggest that the relocation of Penny Lane here was shifted in any way to target his clients because we're trying to exploit minorities, which was very clearly set out in the letter. And my client has been and continues to be willing to work with the neighbors. He had previously told the DeJames family when we had Penny Lane aligned a little bit further down that we would put in reasonable mitigation measures in the nature of landscaping or something to help screen that road. And he certainly is willing to do that with this family. The relocation of that Penny Lane had absolutely nothing to do with the neighbors. It was entirely trying to work with staff and work with reconfiguring this development so that it would better address all of the concerns. I would point out, too, that the way that this intersection of Penny Lane comes into Marlowe is absolutely no different than anywhere else in the county. If you look just the subdivision to the south, there are three or four similar cul-de-sacs, which you know, they're going to come from front into a property. And we're absolutely willing to work with the neighbors, but I did want to be clear on the record that Mr. Arias had absolutely no motive other than trying to work things out in terms of the design.
Thank you. We have several speakers, so I'll ask folks to hold questions till we get our speakers.
Okay, thank
you. All can make space. We have four speakers, and we'll take the first three. Thomas Liu, Fiona Louise Wilcox, and Carol Moore. So, Mr. Liu, you're first.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Thomas Liu, and I am an attorney with Rowan Associates. I am not licensed in the state of Maryland. I am licensed in the state of Virginia. However, we do have attorneys of counsel with our firm who are licensed in the state of Maryland. I have I was asked by the partner of my firm to be here today on behalf of the Nees and the Nees, and I have advised them of my licensure status, and they have agreed and consented to that. The Nees have asked me to speak on their behalf to express their concerns for the actions taken against them and their fellow Deer Park neighbors. Mr. and Mrs. Nee are not strangers to these proceedings, and in fact they have stood in solidarity with their fellow Deer Park neighbors in the past hearings. Previously, the applicant submitted a development plan that called for the construction of 14 residents cul-de-sac in a road that directly faces the Nees neighbors, the James's residents. The proposed road is, as it appears, is even larger than Marlowe Road, which runs along the side of the Nees residents. And the proposed road will serve as the only means of ingress and egress for the residents living among the 14 single-family homes. On June 23rd, the DeJames wrote to the board to express their objections to the nuisance that the road will create. And on July 19th, Ms. Dolores Kinney wrote to the DeJames indicating that the applicant offered to work with the DeJames to minimize the nuisance. The problem today is that the applicant failed to honor its agreement with the commission. It took no attempts to work with the DeJames or with the board to neutralize the nuisance. Rather, it deceptively proposed a new plan that is different only in that the road is now in front of the Nees residents rather than the James residents, and they have taken no effort to contact the Nees whatsoever to minimize the nuisance in which they have recognized before the board. We ask respectfully that the board address this applicant's egregious behavior. Not only did the applicant renege on its promise to the planning board to resolve this issue, it attempted to circumvent the problem by targeting ethnic minorities in the hopes of shirking its obligations and to deceive the planning board. As much as the attorney for the applicant would say otherwise, it appears that the result is exactly what it shows. And the fact is that they have taken no action, to contact the Nees, and they're attempting to exploit something that they should have mitigated, and they have promised the board to mitigate in the past. The Nees are Chinese immigrants. I mean, they're law-abiding, tax-paying, hardworking citizens and members of the community. The fact that they do not possess a firm grasp of the English language, nor are they completely familiar with the American legal system, shouldn't exclude them from the protection of the laws and from the prejudicial and the predatory behavior exhibited by the applicant. We ask the board to stop this deception before it proceeds any further, and also to ask it to take note of the requests which have been made numerous times by the Nees and their fellow residents of Deer Park, in which I will again state. First, the Nees and also the fellow residents will support the fact that the number of houses be reduced from 14 or 12 in this case to 8. The reduction in houses retains and provides a smoother transition from the lower density properties to the east side of Marlowe Road. Granted, the current zoning is R90 and the applicant has proffered to increase the lot sizes. It's still with 1,100 square feet. Is still on the very base on the very base minimum of what is permitted, and it is a far cry from the lot sizes of the Nees and their fellow neighbors. We ask the commission to reduce the houses and to preserve the quality and the value of the neighborhood, not just in the sense that to establish a neighborhood that is more in line to the west, but also provide a smoother transition. And I think that is the focal word that we are asking today, a smoother transition. And also, the NEAS are asking the board to abandon single road proposal in favor of a two separate roads in which the NEAS and the residents have they have supported from the beginning. As additional means of egress and ingress, it translates to less traffic and a smaller road that can be placed between lots, preventing the negative impact of headlights of vehicles into the homes on the east side of Marlow Road. We ask the commission to take note of this. And in closing, I would like to thank the board for its time and patience. I hope that it will make the right decision and act judiciously to protect the rights of Mr. and Mrs. Nee and their fellow neighbors of Deer Park. Thank you.
Thank you. And next speaker is Fiona Louise Wilcox.
We strongly oppose the revised plan for a subdivision of 12 houses. The developer, contrary to its noting there, has not made any efforts from the beginning to the end of this process to appease or come in line with some of the neighbourhood's concerns. We have had no contact whatsoever in spite of requesting this. And so here we are back again, and I'm afraid we're back again to address the same concerns because these have not been addressed by Davari companies. We will continue to restate these and are united in our rejection of this plan for the following reasons and many others, but I don't have 6 minutes. Number one, traffic. Marlow Road is the last sleepy lane in our neighbourhood with a rural character, and we love it. All the communities use it to walk, bike, hike down to the park, and it's safe and quiet for the children to walk on. It has minimum traffic. A development of 12 houses will lead to a huge increase in traffic, making it unsafe and busy. 12 houses is still too much. We request a reduction to 8 houses and only 4 driveways emptying on Marlow, and we request the rest, the service road, to go onto Musgrove Road. Secondly, tree save. After the last hearing, we requested a tree save on this file. You already know the lot has 10 mature trees fronting on Marlow Road. We requested those to be preserved, to preserve the rural character of the street. There are also a lot of other large mature trees on the lot behind, and these not only give character to our street, but they mitigate the pollution from US 29, which is all too close, Fairland Road. What has the developer done to address this? Little or nothing. The current plan, revised plan, all the trees will be cut down fronting Marlow Road, which was our prime request that be maintained. They're suggesting a reforestation elsewhere. This is no solution, planting saplings in some other place in Montgomery County. There's nothing like the value of the mature trees in improving the environment and keeping our neighborhood how we want it. We request a minimum, a tree save on all the trees on the street on Marlow Road. Third point, setbacks. 11 out of 13 houses on this street have 90 to 100 feet setbacks. The revised plan suggesting a great concession, they're going to give us 40 or 50 feet setbacks. This is still not in keeping with our street. We want 70 feet plus setbacks. For stormwater management, we have a problem with stormwater. This has not been addressed. We implore you to listen to us. Please hear what we're saying. We're here because we really feel strongly, and we hope you'll listen. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Carol Moore.
Hi, I'm Carol Moore, and I live at 2904 Marlow, right across the street from the proposed development. I'm not opposed to the development of this property, but like everyone else, I am opposed to this particular design because it will significantly degrade the charm of our street. And this design of 12 houses does not address our concerns for the development. In fact, very little has changed. There is 10 additional feet of setback, but the setback is still only about half of the setback of the houses on our side of the street. And visually, this is a major difference. There is still a plan to cut down the large trees, lending the street the charm that it has, and replace them with curb and gutter. The curb and gutter is also going to look out of place and turns our street into this ugly patchwork quilt where you have curb and gutter, no curb and gutter on one side, and on the other, no curb and gutter. There's way too much traffic. As it stands, two cars can barely pass each other on our street. If you have a truck and a car, one of them is in somebody's front yard. If you have construction traffic, I can't imagine how they're going to make it at all. I would like to speak to our concerns about the developer. I do not feel that our community has been respected during the time that he has owned this property. Trash has been dumped on the property as well as inoperative vehicles. They have not maintained the property. They have not mowed the property. We have had to call and complain about this to the county. Trash is not picked up on the perimeter. I personally have done that. The house has been used as a non-residential office, as far as I know, without a permit. So, all in all, it's really hard to feel trusting of this situation. Our street is thought by the entire set of developments, and we have a lot of signatures from people who don't live on our street, to be a lovely oasis for walking and biking. We're surrounded by traffic noise, pollution, and gridlock. We are under siege by road construction. We're trying to preserve a community. Our community has a lovely one-mile loop walking that goes around Musgrove, Marlowe, and then through the newer communities. And everybody walks this, and it is very dear to all of us. And it seems like for four houses, we're going to lose a lot. If a reduction of four houses, this fellow paid only about $350,000 for this property. It was very inexpensive. He can save money by not building a cul-de-sac and by not building curb and gutter. We'd love to work with him. We'd love to have eight houses. We'd love to have something in keeping with our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. We have one additional speaker, William Leith. Thank you.
Can I use a mic so I can use one?
Certainly.
My name's William Leith. I reside in the home that's not shown on here. Stormwater management is a crucial problem. I've talked to Mr. Arias, mentioned the water problems. He's done nothing to really address it. The stormwater he's proposing does nothing about handling the water that's coming onto my property. This house right here has had 7 feet of water in the basement. This garage is susceptible to flooding. In our house, we didn't put a basement in because of the water problems. Any additional sheet flow of water generated by the roofs and the street will impact my property. Last year, I had four cars in the middle of my yard. To give you an idea how narrow the street is, there's enough room for two cars to barely go down the road. They go off the road a little bit. There's grade here. They end up in my front yard. So stormwater management is a major concern. Mr. Arias also mentioned that coming off of having an entry off of Musgrove was not an option with zoning. I think it would solve many of our issues. They wouldn't have the lights. They wouldn't have the impact, as much impact on Marlowe Road, if you allowed them to have their cul-de-sac entrance off of Musgrove. There's sidewalks existing here. They wouldn't have to put sidewalks here. The bus stop for the kids is located right here. It would be very easy access for the kids and safer for the kids. We have one lady that walks between 6 and 8 miles a day in the development, to give you an idea of the amount of people that walk in here. So there are safety concerns as well. And just to further comment on kind of the tension in the way we feel we've been treated as citizens by Mr. Arias. He mentioned to me about 2 weeks ago that if this was not approved, he was going to sell it to a church. It's just the mindset of the developer, his unwillingness to work with us to try to meet our needs. When I built my house, I had to preserve oak trees. There's plantings back behind my father-in-law's house here. You know, there were things that we had to do to try to preserve the look of the neighborhood, and we just don't see it happening. I have the same concerns that's already been expressed, but I won't reiterate those. I think you've heard that enough. There were over 100 signatures on a previous petition. I think it needs some further review. Thank you.
Thank you. the applicant, if you have an opportunity for rebuttal.
Just briefly, I think that some of the comments we've already made, and I don't want to belabor things. I think in terms of the suggestion of reducing it to 8 homes along this street, there's 4.5 acres here, so 8 homes would be, that would be consistent with R200, but this property is zoned R90, and it is recommended by the master plan that it be developed consistent with the R90 zoning. I'm not going to say anything further about Mr. Liu's comments. I don't think that's a very fair characterization of what's been going on here, and I won't go any further into that. Let me say about the trees along the fronting on Marlow, the 10 trees. Even if we were developing, correct me if I'm wrong, with 3 houses on this property, DPWT would require us to do improvements to that right-of-way that require those trees to come down. That is not in our hands. Regardless of how that property is developed, that is DPWT standards. It's not a rustic roadway, and therefore we have to comply with their roadway standard requirements. I'm going to ask John, if you would, to address the stormwater management runoff. I think everything else we've pretty much touched upon. Somebody made a comment about 10 additional feet of setback. In fact, some of these lots are actually 20 feet deeper that we've provided. And again, we are R90 zoned. Typically, this wouldn't, R200 lots across the street wouldn't even be considered to be within the neighborhood. This is sort of a little bit of a deviation from how you typically look at that. And so we've done our best to try to pattern the development consistent with those. John, if you could address stormwater management.
Sue's absolutely correct regarding the improvements within Marlow Road. We're doing the additional dedications necessary as recommended in the master plan. And within that area dedication, DPWT does require certain improvements, be it either open section or curb and gutter section. In either case, those improvements would dictate the removal of those existing walnut trees. Regarding stormwater management, again, we are providing on-site quantity and quality control for a site that none currently exists. This is the very type of site where we should be putting this type of housing. The infrastructure does exist in terms of the roads. There's a bus stop right there at the property, water, sewer. This is a very appropriate and responsible infill development. And in terms of stormwater management, we are providing that infrastructure element, again, where none currently exists.
Okay. Anything else from you all?
I think that would be
okay. Thank you. Any questions, comments, discussion? We turn it.
Yeah, I have a question of staff, just to refresh my memory on this. Access off of Musgrove, was that denied by SHA or DPWT? Or?
Musgrove's an arterial road, right? They are allowed to see the access off the secondary residential.
Who are the?
The DPWT.
Okay.
And we would rather have the access off to that rather than coming off to the arterial.
So do we have a letter from DPWT in here?
Yes.
Because the access issue affects the trees, the dedication of the right-of-way on Marlow, and the impact of the cul-de-sac. Okay. Oh, but all you have is, you don't have a letter from them?
That's
That's the letter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take a look at it. Okay. Let me read the letter. I don't have any more questions right now.
Okay. Other questions?
What's the minimum frontage for an R90 and an R200 lot, and how do the four lots that are on Musgrove Road compare in terms of their frontage with the lots that are across the street?
The minimum requirement for set front yard setback in the R90 zone is
not the setback, the frontage,
the width
of the lot.
The frontage.
Yes.
Okay, I've got that too.
I don't recall what it is for the R90. I know we exceed that. I know they're generally 100 feet in width, which is consistent with the even more restrictive R200 zone property across the street. So we're consistent with the R200 zone across the street, although we're R90, so we exceed our minimum lot width.
So you design your frontage to be the same frontage, just have the same frontage as,
yes,
as the houses across the street.
Look at the exhibits. You can see how in keeping...
So I just want that confirmed.
And checking here in front of me, the width at the front building line for R90 is a 75-foot wide lot. For R200, it is 100 feet.
And so you've conformed
to
the R200 standard.
That, yes.
All right.
You want me to add the other thing about the subdivision on the access? Application was made for a subdivision. It was for a 16-lot subdivision. In fact, initially we had proposed an access onto Musgrove, and were told that we had to redesign, that we could not access onto Musgrove.
Other questions, comments?
I'm ready to make a motion.
I do have one more question about the trees. I was reading a DPWT letter, and if you need it back, since you may not have a copy, it might be unfair, but it says, trees in the county rights-of-way, species and spacing to be in accordance with the MCDPWT. The trees on Musgrove Road are an issue. And then later it says, if the existing trees cannot be saved, widen Marlow Road. So what does that mean? If the existing trees cannot be saved along Marlow, what was the plan for saving them?
The requirement of the applicant was to improve their frontage to a secondary street standard. So I think that within the tree panel, they may provide in front of the property. If they cannot save any of those existing trees, then I think that's what DPWT is referring to.
But, I mean, is this like a hypothetical, or that you know you can't save any of them?
The existing black walnut trees cannot be saved within...
those are on Marlow.
On Marlow, and provide DPWT standards for either open or closed section. Once roadway improvements are made along our frontage, we will be planting new street trees.
Now, what's the situation on Musgrove?
Similarly, we'll be relocating. One of the conditions of approval are that even though we have no lots running on that nor access to it, we will be improving the sidewalk from its existing 4-foot width and moving it slightly to a 5-foot width and providing street trees along.
So you have to cut down the trees to put in the sidewalk?
It's not an issue along Musgrove.
There are no trees.
Yeah.
There are no trees.
Trees on
so
Musgrove.
All the trees are along Marlow.
That's correct.
So is it possible to have any waivers of those requirements by DPWT? Did you ask?
During the Development Review Committee meeting, when we had the very many agencies there and in one room, I did ask it in that situation whether or not they would allow us to deviate from the DPWT standards in order to preserve the trees, and they did not agree to that.
Let me just ask legal. Would you like to comment on that, Kathy?
Yes.
Can DPWT
for the record? I'm Kathy Conlon with the Development Review Division. I just wanted to say that environmental planning did look at the trees along Marlow Road, and it's not just the impacts from the construction of the new road standards that would affect the trees along the road. It is also impacted by the
the construction behind the trees on the other side. And environmental did make the finding that cumulatively these trees would not be able to be preserved.
But let's take it one step at a time then. Is it possible for DPWT to waive some of these standards to save the trees?
They have, in other instances, allowed us to work with them to preserve trees within rights of way, yes.
Okay, that's my first question. My second question is, you were saying that the impacts aren't just from the roadway, must be from the housing construction or the road.
Right, it's the grading for the houses and the connections of the utilities to the housing. It's a combination. These are relatively small lots, and the trees that are there are large, so their roots do extend into the limits of disturbance, really on both sides.
So would reducing the number of homes make it possible to save some of the trees along Marlow if DPWT granted waivers?
You'd have to pretty significantly reduce